Start your day at the Torah Way, Northwest London, Monday, 19th of Tammuz, 18th of July. Rabbi David Sipper, Shlita, Questions of Life and Death. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Torah Way attendees and Ira Nishmas, one of our regulars, Rav Nosson ben Rav Nosson, Zichron Levrocha, the late Mr. Norman Greenberg, who will be very much missed.
Good morning. It's a great privilege to be asked to speak here again. There's certain people you just don't say no to, and that's one of them is Rudy Itzkowitz. There's absolutely not a chance he gets away, I can get away from that. And again, it's an honor and privilege to be able to speak to you. It's actually a question, which as you'll see is very, very relevant to this week's parasha, Pinchas and Zimri, that we will get to in due course. But I want to build it up. I want to build it up to, on various different levels, in medical ethics and how it comes out of halacha l'maisa all the way till then. It's a fascinating shayla. Just want to give a quick, you have to understand that medical ethics is something that is highly sensitive. Each question has to be addressed to a rov in its particular form. There's many twists and turns that can make a tremendous difference. There's no turning back very often, and therefore this is only to be stood in a not a practical manner, but in a manner that is just going to be understood as a basis to understanding al pi halacha some various interesting concepts. Chazal tell us that chayei shor is extremely respected to the extent that a person's mechuyav to be machal Shabbos. Meiri says a person mechuyav to be machal Shabbos to save a person's life, even if that person's life will be saved for a few minutes, because those few minutes could be crucial to a person being able to do tshuva, and he can change his entire future eternally by doing his tshuva, and therefore we're obligated to do everything we can to do chayei shor. Furthermore, the Gemara says, and the Gemara mentioned in many places, and the Mishnah, that if a person were to terminate a life of a trefer, a person who's dying, and he hastens his death, that person is considered a ritzeach. He may not be killed because he may be a trefer, maybe technically may not be killed for it, but a chayei shor is highly valued. Every moment of a person's life is sacramental, is highly respected in halacha, and chalida to do anything possible to shorten that, and everything is done in order to lengthen that. But the question really is, what happens in a situation where you don't have just a chayei shor that we're looking after? We have a challenge between a chayei shor and a chayei olam. Where you have a challenge between lengthening the life of a chayei shor, but on the same time, that is going to shorten the life of a chayei olam. Chayei shor means a person who is ill, a person who is older, a person who is sick. Chayei olam is a person who, according to doctors at least, has got a lot much longer ability to live. He has a chance of living longer, he's healthier. What happens then? So it's clear in halacha that to, for example, take off a chayei shor from a machine that is lengthening his life, and to turn off the machine in order to give that to a chayei olam would be absolutely awesome. Will we not be allowed to do that? We're not allowed to do that. A person's on life support machine, and there's a chayei olam that is coming in there who is healthier. To turn off the machine and give it to him would be ritzicha. Would be ritzicha. And the Tzitz Eliezer, he discusses in length, even if it's a trefer, he discusses that would be absolutely awesome. There'd be no shayla b'chlal, that would be awesome. But this is a shayla, this is a question that came up, and it came up often, recently, in many, many places. It was a question in the Hatzalah, in various places in the world, and it was also brought up in a hospital ward recently. There was a shortage of ventilators when it was needed in order to help people, Rahman al-Islam, with corona. And these people, their lives could be saved if they were attached to a ventilator or attached to machines that is able to help them along with their breathing. And there was a shortage. The world was by no means prepared for it. There was a shortage of ventilators. And we have now a shaila of giving a sick person a ventilator on a first-come, first-served basis. You get a Hatzola call that is a man, an old man, who is not very well at all. He has this disease and has heart disease and he's not so well and he needs a ventilator. And we know that it's not going to be long until we're going to get another call that there is a chaya olam, a healthy person, a healthier person, who is going to need that ventilator. We know for sure he's going to need it.
It hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet. Absolutely, it hasn't happened. Don't have them both sitting in front of us. It has not happened yet. Do we have a right to say that, I'm sorry, we are not giving you that ventilator because we are withholding it for the sake of a chaye oilom? Do we have a right to do that? However painful it may be a family member, it may be a neighbor, it may be somebody who is a tired yid. Do we have a right to say, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's likely that's going to happen, or very likely it's going to happen, and therefore we're not giving you that ventilator. Do we have a right to do that? So this is, of course, a life and death shaila. And I'd just like to investigate a little bit what chaye olam and chaye shoah means. Chaye olam means, versus chaye shoah, is learnt in various different places in Shas. One place is the famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, a person going through a desert, and there's not enough water to save a person. Today is a scorching heat. We're going out to the London streets and there's a scorching heat. All you have is one bottle of water and there's two people there and one will survive the London heat and one won't. And the shaila is, what do you do? Do you split it up and give each one a little bit of water and one does not see the pain and suffering of the other one, or does one keep it for oneself and your life chayechel koymin? This is a case of chaye olam versus chaye shoah. We have two people who have chaye shoah. We are able to give them both chaye shoah. On the other hand, there's a chaye olam, there is a longer life for the person who keeps it for himself. The Gemara says, chayechel koydmin, and your life comes first. Now, even without chayechel koydmin, the Chazon Ish says, you have no right, a third person who has a cup of, or has a bottle of water, he has no right to split it up and give it to two chaye shoah. He has an obligation to ensure that he gives it to one person and that person will live to the chaye olam. So here we have a chaye olam versus a chaye shoah. Even more than that, there's a Gemara in Zora that talks about the Arba Mitzrayim. So Haftorah, they read the Parshas Mitzrayim, or the Arba Mitzrayim. And these Arba Mitzrayim were hungry, they were thirsty, and they were outside the Machaneh Aromath, if I remember, and they needed to find food. And the Gemara described, the Haftorah describes how they went into the Machaneh and they found everyone disappeared and they ran away and they're dead. In the Haftorah. But this was a case and they went back and they told that there's nobody there anymore. So this is a case of Chaye Oilon versus Chaye Shoah. Why? Because they had a risk. Going to that Machaneh was a risk. It was dangerous to go in. On the other hand, if they don't go in, they'll die. So this is a chaye olam, a risk, a chance of a chaye olam, risking chaye shoah. Do you have a right to do so?
For yourself.
Do you have a right of chaye shoah versus chaye olam? So Rav Moshe Feinstein learns from this. He says, "What? Why are we learning from Arba Mitzrayim? From four people who are better rishoyim, we're going to learn the halacha. Why do you learn from them?" So he said the reason is because we're not learning them. They weren't rabbonim. They weren't gedolei olam. They weren't tzaddikim that we learned from them a halacha. We're learning from them that this is basic seichel, that this is basic logic, and therefore, a person has a right to determine himself without asking. He has a right to determine himself if he is willing to go ahead with a chaye shoah danger in order for his own chaye olam. Is a person allowed to go through a risky procedure, a risky surgery, in order to perhaps be able to live longer the chaye olam in the future? Does he have a right to do so? And he said the fact that we learn it from the Arba Mitzrayim teaches us that a person has a right to determine that himself. A person has a right to make that distinction and say, I'm willing to go with this chaye shoah, which is risky for the sake of chaye olam. That is a Chai Shor versus a Chai Olam. Rav Moshe talks about it, even if it's a less than a 50-50 chance. Rav Chaim Eizer talks about it in his Tshuvas.
You can't learn from that for others.
So from there you learn. The Gemara learns it. Gemara learns it.
He decides for himself.
Ah, yes.
You decide for somebody else in Chai Shor, Chai Olam. It's a bit different with everybody.
Yes. So correct. From that Gemara, we learn just the importance of a Chai Olam, of priority to Chai Shor. Right? But the Gemara that talks about the one going through a midbar, where the Chazan Ish learns from that Gemara, that a person, a third party, has a right to make a determination between the Chai Olam versus the Chai Shor. So here we have a case where we have a Chai Olam, we have somebody who likely will be able to live a lot longer with a ventilator, who has a corona patient in the ventilator, versus a Chai Shor who won't be able to live that long. Maybe he'll be able to live another week or month, but he's not going to be able to live longer. What is the obligation there? And by the way, in halacha, there's many, many halachas that tell you chai olam versus chai shor. For example, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, if there's a fire, and there's two people you have to save, you save, says Shulchan Aruch, the person who is healthier, the chai olam you save before the chai shor. This is a halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Just by the way, if it's not a chai olam versus chai shor, there's a completely different halacha. There we say halacha of ein mavirin. Ein mavirin means you don't pass one over the other. It's a fascinating tshuva that in a Hadassah hospital many years ago, about 60, 70 years ago, there's meningitis. And they had a very limited supply of antibiotics. So Rabbi Herzog, the chief rabbi, asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's very nadir, he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein in tshuva, what is he supposed to do with giving out these doses of antibiotics? Who do you give it first to? He had a ward of children, he had 12 children then, no, 8 children then, who had meningitis, and they were very, very ill, and they had 3 doses of antibiotics. Who do you give it to? Who do you give it to? So Rav Moshe answered, there is a loch of ein mavirin. You don't pass over. And the first children you come in through the door, the first 3 children you see, you're going to give them immediately the 3 doses. The children further in, unfortunately, who knows? But it's a din of ein mavirin. So what do you have? Yes.
Do you have a greater responsibility if it's your father rather than somebody else's father?
Unfortunately not. Not with pekuach nefesh. Not with the Kof Nefesh. We have certain shaylos whether you have your father and your Rebbe. If you have a choice between your father...
For certain people,
yes. Yes, absolutely right. That comes to with a Metzia, to return that Shavas Aveda. That halacha applies. That halacha applies with the halacha of carrying a masa, to carrying a weight. Yeah, your father or your Rebbe. Yeah, your Rebbe comes first before your father. Your father comes for other people than your own. It comes before the case of Pidyon Shavuim.
Yeah.
But it doesn't become necessarily a life-dangering situation. It's not that your father versus somebody else. One has a kibbutz. If it is a chay shor versus chay olam, certainly not. If they're both in front of you exactly the same,
then your
father will come first, but you have an additional obligation of kibbutz of ein. But whenever you have anything of ein mavirin or chay olam or chay shor, however painful it may be, one doesn't have that priority. So here we have a Chai Olam versus Chai Shor. Listen to this carefully. So that's Ein Mavir. Now, where you have a Chai Olam versus Chai Shor, that would apply where they're standing in front of you. Where they're both standing there, you have a fire, and you can save one Chai Olam and Chai Shor, and you have a case of a midbar, a Chai Olam and Chai Shor. That all makes sense. But what happens in the case where you have a Hatzalah call, or you have a ward in a hospital where you have a limited amount of ventilators, and you have a Chai Shor who needs that ventilator right now, and you have a Chai Olam who hasn't yet even come there, do you give the right to the future right to the Chai Olam versus the Chai Shor? So here there is the tshuva of the Noida Bihuda. And the Noida Bihuda said, there's a shayla with the Noida Bihuda with regard to a patient who died, was sent by a group of doctors from London to Noida Bihuda. A certain patient died from urological disease, and the doctors wanted to perform on him a post-mortem, an autopsy, in order to determine why he died, in order to help for the future, to find out, you know, how he can help in the future. And I'm not going to the conclusion of the tshuva, But the Noidi Bihuda sets down parameters of when one has a right to focus on the Chaya Olam, which is really ultimately what you're trying to get. You're trying to reach a stage of Chaya Olam by operating now on the shore, right, for the temporary, for the long term. Do you have a right to do so? And the Noidi Bihuda has come through with a very interesting parameters of halacha, something called lefanenu. Lefanenu means it's got to be in front of us. It's got to be there. You can't talk about in the future something's going to happen. It's got to be there. Now, how likely is it? What short term? Again, that tshuva is not relevant to what the conclusion is, but the term of lefanenu, in front of us, is very relevant. And therefore, the shaila is, yes, chaya olam takes priority to chaya ishah, but that's only when it's lefanenu, when it's in front of us. Is this a case where you don't have the lefanenu, you don't have both patients, you don't have that tzaddik call coming in simultaneously, and now which one should tzaddik go to? That tzaddik has this patient, Rahman al-Islam, standing, lying down here in a stretcher, and we're holding back the ventilator because we know Rahman al-Islam in a short time, there's going to be a chaye oilon there. What do we do? The Titzeliezer, Rav Waldenberg, holds that if it's a very high likelihood that there will be a chaye oilon coming in the immediate future, doesn't have to be within the next hour or two, it can be the next period of time. In that situation, then that one has the obligation to withhold the ventilator in order to give it to the Chaya Olam. One has an obligation to do it because that's called the Fanenu, and the Chaya Olam takes priority to Chaya Shol. One has an obligation to withhold it.
And if it will never be the Fanenu, but I've got a question of transferring the machine to somewhere else where there is another choila. In other words, the choila
is not geographical. It's not geographical. It doesn't depend on the geographical. It depends on the ability to be able to perform the operation or to perform that in that time frame.
Right.
It's not geographical.
The second one is not lefanenu yet.
If it's likely that it's going to happen,
then it's called lefanenu.
Then it's called lefanenu. Likely means not in something week or two, likely means, and it was very likely, it was a shaila that Rahman al-Islam was, I mean, you remember what it was like here in London, right? That was likely, and everyone has an obligation to withhold it. However painful that may be, that is the halacha. So this is what a shaila of chaya oilam versus chaya shol. Now this is in a situation where one has one not challenging the other, but vying against the other. They're competing against the same ventilator. They're competing one against the other. What happens in a situation where one is actually challenging the other? What happens in a situation where you have a chaya olam versus a chaya shol, that are actually one is challenging the other, one is taking away the life of the other? And this is a Mishnah in Olus. The Mishnah discusses there about a child who is, Gemara says, the Mishnah says, in Perek Zayin Olus, her ishoshi mekasha lele, the woman is having difficulty giving birth, and because her child is causing her distress, mechatkin es avlad b'me'eho, one kills a child in her stomach, umitzin oisa avrim me'avrim, and you take out avrim, you take out piece by piece. In other words, you kill the child. B'pnei shechayeho koidim lechayev, because her life comes first. So this is a din of reidef. The child is a reidef. The child is challenging the mother. However, yotzo ruboi, when most of the child comes out already, ein noigin boi. In that case, we don't touch the child, she'ein doichin nefesh mipni nefesh, because we do not get involved. Now, there's a very interesting shaila that came up. I don't know whether it's a loch olamais, it doesn't say, but it seems like it was. It seems like it was. There was, in Israeli Air Force, there was a jet fighter that was sent out on a mission to an area that was wasn't said exactly where it was going to, and it was sent on a mission to bomb a particular base, and the jet fighter pilot mistook the location, and he was on the way to bomb actually a secret Israeli base. And the communication with the fighter was broke. You could not get down. You could not work with the fighter pilot. Jet pilot. He couldn't talk to him. And now he's on the way to bomb Israelis. He's on the way to bomb secret agents. It seems to be a halacha l'maaseh shaila. It doesn't say give all the details, but that was a shaila. What does one do then? Now, there's a possibility at the base to shoot the plane down. At the base, you can shoot the plane down. Does one have a right? Does one have a right to kill one in order to save the other? So this is not a chai olam versus chai shot. Here is getting much more. So is that a shayla as a redif? Is that a case of a redif? This person is out to kill innocent people. Right? Do we have an obligation? Not only a right. Do we have an obligation to kill him in order to save all those other people?
Is he a redif if he doesn't know about it?
And it was time to
ask off. Is it ready if he doesn't know about it? Now, does his child know about it? So he learned from this mission. Does his child know that he's being a redif? He's not even born yet. Right? And we say we chop up this child, yeah, in order to save the mother. It's not din on the knowledge of being a redif. But there's a very interesting Chum Sefer. The Chum Sefer brings a maisa that there was a maid, a woman who was helping in her home, and she had fainted. And the bala boss tried to revive her with some schnapps. Yeah, good classic way, there's some schnapps. And instead of giving schnapps, somebody noticed has given kerosene. Right? Which is not advisable at a kiddush. And it was likely to kill her. And he was not able to tell this person, but he was able to stop this person, to stop him. And the shaila was, is this person considered a redif? The Chasam Sefer comes out with a psak, and he says, where a person wants to do the right thing, where the person is not going out to kill somebody, because there's a lashon in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Eilim atzin l'oysim b'nafshom, haredif acha chaveir l'holgoi. So Rashi says, what's matzin l'oysim b'nafshom? So Rashi said, "Matzin la'oisam min ha'avera." Matzin la'oisam min ha'avera. In other words, the idea of a redef is not necessarily to save the nirdaf, to save the victim. It's to save the redef from doing an avera. But nafshon means we kill the redef. But nafshon, matzin min ha'avera, to save him from an avera. But the person has no intention to do an avera. He's trying to save his maidservant, right? He's not trying to do an avera. This pilot is attempting to go along and to save Klal Yisrael from future terrorist attacks. He is not a redif, says Rabbi Yashiv. He's not a redif. And therefore you have no right to kill him. He is not considered a redif, and therefore you have to allow him to do whatever is necessary in order to carry on. You may not kill him.
And bomb an Israeli base, not an Arab base.
No, an Israeli base. He's going to bomb an Israeli base. He's not a redif.
Why?
A redif is only somebody who has intention to do something bad. He doesn't know. He has intention. He has intention to blow up that base. Yes, but it wasn't intention to something bad. He was sent on a mission on behalf of Klal Yisrael in order to do something that's going to save Klal Yisrael.
The baby's also got an intention to kill his mother.
So the child is a redef because. Oh, so why is the child a redef? It's not about the intention. That he is be'etzem. He doesn't have a machshav to do something right. No. Understand? Yes. The idea is he was doing his on a mission to do something right. A person who has a kavanah l'toiva is not a redif. The child doesn't have any kavanahs at all. Right? He's like a rock falling off a mountain. But he doesn't have an intention. Right? Doesn't, and therefore they won't be said in that situation. Yes.
Is it considered to be one for one as opposed to the driver and a load of people there?
There is a shayla about that. We're not going to have time for that. There's a different shayla. Yeah, and I'll just for your thought, just for your idea, imagine. I don't have time for this. Maybe if Dudi will be so kind as to invite me back again, then we will be able to go through this. But this is what happens in this situation. Again, I'm not going to get into it because I've got to go. We've only got 5 minutes left. But what happened in a situation where, after two planes have already flown into the Twin Towers, we know the third plane is on the way to the Pentagon, right? And that situation, we have the ability, the Pentagon have their own rockets, we have the ability to blow up that plane before they hit the Pentagon. Do we have a right to do that? Do you have an obligation to do that?
Yeah, because they
get it. All these people are Redef. All these people are Redef. So these people, so number one, these people are not a Redef because they have no intention to kill. These people are not on the plane. Number two, these people are not being more dangerous. They're not killing. If these people weren't on the plane, the plane would be just as dangerous with them or without them. Okay?
They're going to die.
And they're
going
to die anyway. These people are going to die anyway. So it's not doich nefesh meplay nefesh because you're not pushing one for the other. So that's already a whole different shayla. Again, it's a very interesting shayla. But what's relevant here is the shayla with regard to the nefesh meplay nefesh in this situation where are you allowed to kill one to save the other? Now, we talked about us from the outside being able to shoot down that plane. Is there any difference if the army base that is about to be bombed, they have the ability to blow up that plane? Does that make a difference? Do they have the right to bomb that plane?
Yeah.
To defend itself. To defend itself. Do they have a right to defend themselves?
Why is blood more red than the other?
Why is blood more red than the other? So do they have the right? Now listen to this. On this Mishnah in Arlus, the Mishnah talks about us from the outside. Do we have the right to get involved and to kill the child once their head has already come out? And that the Mishnah says, no, you're not allowed to. We have no right to do so. The Meiri brings, though, a machlokes, whether the mother herself has that right to do that. Can the mother herself get involved? And the Meiri has two days. One of the rais he brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says how Moisem Nefesh, what Brisi Shalom came to Pinchas, says the Gemara, Omer Yechanon, when it came to the halacha of asking whether Pinchas has a right to kill Zimri, he wouldn't pass on the halacha. If Zimri would have stopped the Maisa and Vahorgoi Pinchas, and Pinchas would have killed him, then it would be too late. Pinchas would have been killed. Carries on the Gemara. Nepach Zimri Vahorgoi the Pinchas. Was Zimri to go and kill Pinchas? Ain't Neragolov. Then Zimri would not have been killed. Why? Shaharei Roidefu. Because at that moment of time, he was a
Roidef.
Hashkim Lahorgoi. Says a Rosh. Fascinating. Says a Rosh. And he passes in Salocha. In Perik Tes, Salocha Dalud. So he says, Vimpir Zimri Vahorgoi Pinchas Neragolov. Vim Nepach Zimri Vahorgoi Pinchas. Well, Zimri to turn around and kill Pinchas. Lo Yehoi Neragolov. Shaharei Roidef Gomorhu. Because Pinchas is an absolute Roidef. If he was a din of based in, then he's not a Redef. But he didn't have an obligation, he had a rishus, he had permission to do so. Avav inishachrin and neragolov, the lav Redef goborhu, came the rishus kovit. But anybody else wouldn't be allowed to kill Pinchas because he had a right to do so. Right? He had a right to do so. Ud zimri dafka nitei nahatzel atzman benashu shal Pinchas. Zimri is the only one who has a right to do so. Why? Because as far as he was concerned, he was allowed to kill Zimri. And Zimri, and therefore Hilkoch, less Rishus Hatzilah Benafshu Shel Pinchas. Now, if nobody else had the right to kill Zimri, to kill Pinchas, because he had the right to kill Zimri. Zimri, though, is allowed to protect himself because he was considered a Redef to Pinchas. Pinchas a Redef to Zimri. And therefore, we see from this halacha that although people from the outside have no right to involve themselves in this right to shoot down this pilot, the people themselves would be considered a Redef. We learn from this Gemara that Zimri could have killed Pinchas because a Redef is no dehabot. In other words, we have no din to determine one blood over the other. Or you can't in doich nefesh between nefesh does not apply to the person himself, like the mother has a right to kill the child in order to save herself.
There's an argument that was by Pinchas, Zimri was doing something wrong. Ashenke, the pilot, was certainly not doing anything wrong because he didn't have an intention to do anything wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a difference. Yeah, Zimri was doing something wrong, but doing something wrong was what allowed us to kill him. That's what gave us permission to kill him. And therefore, here we have
one patient up to another patient to take his entry.
No, because that is if you take away some ventilator, you're killing him. I've no right to kill somebody else to save myself. I'm talking about when one is threatening the other. He's not threatening him. He's passively. But when you threaten the other, then you have a Redef. No, but the din of Redef, one is challenging the other to hold a new din of Redef. Habalah Hashem Hog is a new din of Redef. It's not about taking away somebody else's thing to save my own life. And therefore, for the conclusion, these shaydas, Rahman and Sarsh, never come up. But again, we see it again of Chai Shor versus Chai Oilom. We have the importance of Chai Shor versus Chai Oilom with regard to operations, Chai Oilom versus Chai Shor versus Chai Oilom with regard to the lofas of giving treatment to patients. And then we have the shayla of where Chai Shor, Chai Oilom, even to Chai Oilom are challenging each other with Redef, and the conclusions we have learning from Pinchas. Thank you very much.
It's fascinating, but I think it's just the end of the world. I don't want
to go through
something.
Occupational hazards.
It is.